Hi, I'm Masaba Gupta. Each week on How I Masaba from Luminary, I talk to one incredible woman about how they do, well, them. These are the inspirational mindsets, necessary daily practices, and only funny in hindsight experiences that have defined and continue to drive our culture's greatest. When I look at young designers starting today, I can't help but think of how much the industry has evolved since the day I started out. Things that seemed like a huge obstacle when I started seem so much easier today. I'll be honest, I do sometimes feel the work my peers did sort of laid the foundation that made things so much easier. Today, I'm talking to one of the foremost designers in our country, a designer who has created a retail giant. She's always charting new paths that we could tread upon. Even today, she continues to unlock new frontiers in the country and across the world, putting Indian fashion on the global stage. Today, I'm talking to Anita Dungre.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I'm going to start with one question that I've been wanting to ask you for a very long time and something I feel like I missed out on. As a designer, as the owner of my business, I feel like I really miss not having family to have started this with. I know my mom was around, but she was a very small part just in the initial years. You've had Meena, you've had Mukesh. Do you think that it makes a difference? Because I know a lot of other designers, senior designers, who've had family to help support and set up that the core system in the office or in the whole organization. How do you think that's changed you, or has that made you a better entrepreneur or worse? How's that been?
Interesting question. Actually, Masaba, my family's been everything to me. Like, you know, I make this statement so often, and I made the statement, in fact, just last week, I just looked at somebody and I said, how do they manage without sisters? So I'm lucky. I have an elder sister and a younger sister.
Okay.
And I have a mom. So literally these three women, my mother-in-law, they've all literally ran my life for me. You know, today it's Anita Dungre, the big business empire. But trust me, there's an army of women behind me who've selflessly helped me, supported me. Then, of course, Mukesh, my brother, and now Yash, my son. But my younger sister has been the one closest to me. She's almost like a mother to me. I live with her in the week because I moved the house close to the head office, which we moved to Navi Mumbai. So Meena and me set up a joint home together. So I live there Monday to Friday, and then I come back to the Bandra home with a husband on weekends.
that's great, the secret to a happy marriage.
And both these, I mean, all the women in my life, whether it's my childhood best friend who also joined me right when I started, I've just had so many women angels in my life. I call them all angels in my life. I would be nothing without them, honestly.
But do you feel like there's ever been this moment where you've had to build that barrier between the professional and personal, or do you think it's been very seamless?
No, there are times I've had to build the barrier, and then I just go inwards. Like, you know, when it's too much, it's very rarely.
Okay.
But like with Meena, I mean, any amount of time I spend with her is less. Like for me, every moment I spend with her, I never have to, you know, go inward. But with sometimes when it just gets too much at work, being with family, I get away. I have my own circle of friends.
Right.
We all have our friends.
Correct.
So as a family, we are together, we work together. But then each one of us, I have a very healthy group of friends. So then that's good enough.
Okay.
I don't think we really get into each other's space.
Space too much.
And no,
when you
not
do,
at
you...
all.
Instantly just separate.
No, we actually we've just, you know, got a small farmhouse in Pauna. Now we go there also together. Then a lot of friends join in. And with us, all siblings, all their friends are my friends. It's one big party.
I really miss that. And I think my mom was telling me how much she regrets not having
another child because she feels like I will grow up to be very lonely. This is her theory. But I do miss not having that one family member to kind of always lean on. I mean, my stepdad, by the way, is a big force in my life. He makes all the financial decisions, well, up until a couple of months back. But I just miss that, you know, having that one bouncing board where you know that you can trust this person 100%. Who's that person for you in the organization?
My family.
Everyone.
Yeah. Amazing. My brothers, my sisters, I'm closest to them. Even my elder sister, very, very close to all of them. I mean, we just sit for family meetings. We do joint decisions together. Mm. Like I said, I would be nothing without them, Asab. And I really, really feel them in my life is a blessing. I worry about Yash. He's a single child. I had just one child.
Yeah.
And I always, and we all discuss this, that, you know, we are six kids.
Yeah.
My mom had six of us and we're all so close.
Mm-hmm.
And then my elder sister just has one boy and there's Yash. So from six, it's down to two. So luckily the two boys are close. But I always do. I mean, I wish I could have given Yash the same upbringing I had, you know, like in a big family with so many siblings.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's life. I don't think I had it in me to have more than one.
Great. You know, I also want to talk about how you were one of the early movers and raised institutional money at a very, very early stage. I don't think that now it's a trend for designers, design houses to tie up with the corporate. But I remember up until 2-3 years back, I was very scared of letting go of that control. Do you think that as a creative person, it is important to, one, choose the partner that you're going to... It's like being in a marriage.
Absolutely.
Right?
It is a marriage.
It is a marriage. How do you pick your partners? And more importantly, what advice would you give to somebody young, including me, that how do you not be hesitant towards the corporatization, as they say, of fashion today?
See, it all depends on your goals. If your goals and ambitions are larger, then you have to partner with somebody bigger than you, right? If you just want to stay small, and that's fine too. And I'm a big champion for both ways of working. Today, you know, especially in COVID, those 2 years of just being at home and thinking a lot, it was almost nonstop on and off. It was a lot of me time. I also realized that small is beautiful. Sometimes it's okay to be small, and sometimes it's okay to just be small and just be running your own show. And I think there's something beautiful about that. But then if you have the aspirations and the dreams to get larger, then to go with the corporate, you have no other choice. But of course, you've got to choose that person as sensibly as you would choose in a marriage.
Yeah.
You can make mistakes. We all do. And I think, but as a leader, as a woman leader, because today we are all women leaders and we need to lead, we need to realize that whatever you want to do yourself, you know you're going to do it 100% right. But if you can mentor somebody else, train them to do what you would have done, and even if they get it 70, 80% right, you've got to let that 20, 30% go. Because nobody is perfect. And I found also when I started building the organization and handing over the reins, because as I grew, I had to, there are a lot of roles in the company. I mean, we all start as entrepreneurs. We do everything.
Correct.
And then you bring in people to do everything. And then you've got to train the right people. But you train them, you hire the right people. And then you're never going to be 100% happy with the way you would have done it yourself. But you've got to give that little bit of leeway.
Leeway, yeah. That's true. But I'm also at that stage, you know, myself, where I'm starting to delegate. I have two business heads, one for the beauty business, one for apparel. And it's tough. I mean, I feel like I'll just do it myself. But I think you need people, one, who know more than you.
Yes, you need to hire people better than you.
Absolutely.
Because you're not the best at everything.
Absolutely.
So I concluded a few years ago that I'm terrible with operations. I hate operations. I hate it. I hate the daily. None of us creative people don't like that.
Yeah.
So when we took the, the investor in, I was like, I don't want, these are the things I don't want to do. You know, please get other people to do them. So today, in fact, I'm in a space of where I'm happier. Because I'm only focusing on what I really like at least 80% of the time. So that gives you the freedom to do what you really want to do and what you're really good at. Because the rest of the stuff you think you're good at as an entrepreneur, but you're not. You just need to hire people better than you, honestly.
And I also think that we try and say, oh, you know, if I don't know something, I'll learn it. But you can learn something and still not enjoy doing it.
Yeah. And in today's times, it's good to know everything, but it's just good to get people smarter than you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that just spreading the stress across and not taking it all onto yourself. Working as a team. Yeah.
Rather than doing everything. It's not about I anymore. The larger you get, it's about we. It's about building a great team and it's about working together. And it's about trusting. Trusting and letting go.
And you have three or four brands? Four, right? including Grassroot?
Masaba, today I creatively only look after Anita Dongre and Grassroot. That's my focus right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you navigate, or is there a switch that goes off when you're doing work
no,
on both the
both
brands?
These labels separate. Are pretty much in the same space. Okay. I deal with craft in both the labels. It's just that Grassroot is positioned more as an everyday label. Like what I'm wearing today is Grassroot, and Anita Dongre is more occasion wear. But craft, women empowerment, the same mm-hmm. Values come into both the labels and both the brands. Mm-hmm. So it's just that I put on two different creative caps when I'm sitting with the teams.
Exactly, yeah.
But that I love.
Oh, really?
For me, okay. It's like a de-stressor to move from one office to the other.
Wow.
Where the two are concerned.
Wow.
It's like when I'm sitting and doing the bridal line, it just gets too much sometimes. I'm like, okay, you know, now I'm glad tomorrow I'm doing Grassroot, which is more earthy, more me.
More you?
Totally more me.
I keep telling my team, I don't know if you agree, but I feel like sometimes a lot of the younger generation creative designers have sort of lost the ability to think for themselves because there's so much information out there. Earlier when we had to look, I mean, when you and everybody else had to look for inspiration, it was found in very select places. Today it's in the palm of your hands, like you said. Is there too much information today, and is that leading to sort of the death of creative talent? Is that happening?
Masaba, to everything, I'd say good and bad. Everything that happens today with technology, you have to learn to use it in moderation.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing that everything you want is in the palm of your hand. For me, that's liberating. I think it's absolutely liberating. But I need to decide. I need to be the master of my time. I need to decide that this is it. Now I'm going to cut off. So I switch off my phone every day at 7:30 p.m. sharp. You can never call me after 7:30 p.m.
Really?
That's it. My phone is off at 7:30. My whole office knows it. Everybody knows it.
But is this a boundary that you build?
It's my own boundary. That's it. I switch off that phone. I enter my bedroom and I say, now this is my time. This is me. This is my time alone. I'm at peace with myself. Now I don't have the phone. Because literally you're bound to the phone.
Yeah.
Because I run the business. There are like 200 WhatsApp
groups. It's nonstop. Yeah.
It's nonstop, you know.
Yeah.
So you need to set off your cutoff time. So I switch off the phone at 7:30. I'm in bed by 8:30 p.m. I need that 1 hour before I go to bed to that me time for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then my phone comes back on again at about 7:30 a.m. So 12 hours, it's off. It's just off.
But is this something that you learned the hard way?
No.
Or were you always somebody who had those boundaries? Very, very
I think
clear.
So. I've always had my boundaries between work and me time, work and family time. I've always been in that sense quite balanced.
Yeah.
Every time I feel that, you know, there's too much happening, I think as very successful women where we get so much of opportunity today, actually there's more opportunity that comes on our doors than we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah.
Then you've got to learn to say no, Masaba. You've got to say no, this is it. I need me time. There might be some really tempting, like so many tempting collaborations come my way. And I'm like, guys, I can't deal with this. I've got to say no. It's great. Let somebody else do it. But I need my peace of mind. I don't want to do this. I think I overworked for a few years. I think this kind of balance has come in my life in the last few years. I think even the 2 years, the 1 year that we spent in COVID also just made me realize that life is short and life should be not about just material achievement and career achievement, but just more about you wanting to do what you want every day of your life. And just every day is so important to make it yours and, you know, make it happy.
I read a very interesting quote that in order to do something, I need to also do nothing.
True. I'm a master at nothing, Masaba. I think if there's anyone who's mastered the art of nothing, it's me. I'm a Libran. Like, I can work for 5 days nonstop, and then if I do nothing, that's it. 2 days, I will not even shower. I'll be in my pajamas, and I will just vegetate in the house, and that's it. And I'll do nothing.
But nothing. No television. Nothing.
For me, the best days of my life is when I wake up in the morning, and I'll come down and say, there's no plan, right? Today, there's no plan. Oh, wow. And I'll do like a little jig because there's no plan. Just sit with the dogs in the house. Just do pure nothing. Not even watch anything on an OTT platform. Like, nothing. Probably just sit in my garden and just stare at the sky, look at the birds, look at the trees, talk to myself. Just be. So important.
So important. And I don't think we give... I think we think that hard work means just constantly being at it. But I think hard work is also self-care.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've dressed a lot of international celebrities. What's the Kate Middleton story? I know a lot of people may have asked you, but did you know that she was going to be wearing that dress?
Not really. It was ordered online, honestly, and we really didn't know. And it was the biggest surprise of my life. I don't think ever any other moment can match that as a professional achievement. When I woke up in the morning and I saw I got the pictures on Instagram. Somebody sent it to me and I was like, I literally went, oh my God. You know, I had the same reaction. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was truly a special moment.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
What drives you today? You've done a lot. You're a retail giant. You have amazing brands. You've proved yourself. What
no,
drives
I haven't.
You today?
You know what drives me? That the best is still yet to come.
Okay.
I walk in every day to the office. I'm like a child of 18 who says that whatever I've done doesn't matter. Like today, what I'll do is going to be so much better than what I've done in the past. I just feel I have so much more in me. Like I just, like I want to walk till the day I can physically walk into that office and, you know, till my physical health allows me to. So I don't know when that will be, another how many years, but I walk in with the same enthusiasm as I walked in, I think, from the first day when I graduated from college till today.
But are you planning on doing more in terms of, are we seeing more brands that are coming out?
No ways. No? I just want to do great work every day.
Yeah.
I just want to be better today than what I was yesterday. I think I compete with myself only at a crazy level. Like every day I want to walk in and say, like, how can I do this more intelligently, more creatively? How can I do this better? And that I just drive my own self only, actually. I compete with myself. I compete with the older me.
That's great, because then you are your biggest sort of challenge in that sense, right?
Yeah. Like sometimes, you know, we're doing something. I just look at Meena and say, how stupid are we? How could we be still after 5 years doing this, the same thing, the same way? Why aren't we doing it better? You know?
Yeah.
Come on, let's put our brains together. Let's do this better. Let's do this smarter. That's what drives me. Better, smarter. It's like a game with my own self.
No, that's great, because I think also sometimes just being so competitive with the outside world can drain you.
Well, you know how the fashion world is, Masaba. It's so judgmental and it can drain.
Yeah.
So I prefer to just go within.
Yeah. But I've noticed that about you. You go within and you're very happy within. Some people, I think, see it as a negative, but you do it in a very, very positive manner.
It makes me happy.
Yeah. You went into New York in a very, very India-proud manner. I love that about your store there. I think we also had lunch, obviously, in New York. And I find that whatever you do it with India on your sleeve. But why aren't we seeing more Indian designers getting some sort of recognition or sort of making that shift to the West?
Masaba, I think it's high time. So many designers have opened have opened already in New York and are planning to open. And a lot of designers are looking at other cities from what I've been chatting with our contemporaries.
Right.
I just think the next decade is going to be the India decade. I feel strongly about that. Because for years, we've been ignored on the international fashion scene. And look at the talent we have in our country today. It is fabulous. When I see the work that's coming out of India today, it really makes me proud. You know, all the setting up of the NIFT that happened 25 years ago, it's all paying off. Those dividends are paying off now of, you know, what the government of India did. So I think the next decade will be India on the rise.
So we both went to the same college.
School,
SNDT.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, I feel like of late, I speak to a lot of young girls who are coming out of fashion school. And do you think that there needs to be an upgrade in the system of education when it comes to fashion? Because I felt like while I was taught the technicalities of things and, you know, everything from dyeing to knitting, we did it all. But I do think that when it came down to setting up my own business, I didn't feel like I got the education. My bad, I also didn't do the internship that you're supposed to. But do you think...
the internship is valuable.
I didn't do it. And because I went and started my own label like an oversmart little kid. And I was 19. I thought I could do it all. But I do regret...
Actually, it's so similar. I did my first exhibition while in college at 18.
Really?
In the first year of college, four of us girls together did an exhibition, which was a hit and a success.
Wow.
Second year, we repeated it. Mm-hmm. And I did do my internship. And then after the internship, I mean, I worked for a year and that's it. And I started my own because I was itching to just get started.
Yeah, I was just like, I wanted to be at Lakme Fashion Week.
The glamour was calling me.
The glamour was calling me. And I just went back and said, I know nothing about how to set up a business or a team or what to pay my master. So
Masaba, you've hit the nail on the head. In fact, we had the same conversation in the office yesterday. And if somebody running a fashion college is listening to this, please come to me and to you. I'm going to tell them what to start teaching in college now. I think our colleges, I mean, it's great that NIFT was set up that many years ago. And I think they're doing a fantastic job. But I think today the industry needs so much more in training. For example, there are so many professions within the fashion industry that requires certain skills, buyers, merchandisers.
Yes. Yeah.
They're not there in the industry.
Yeah.
We am.
Yeah.
They're just not there. And, yeah. and I think today NIFT, you know, I think you and I should do something
really
about
do something.
This. We should create an organization that can talk to the institutes and teach them what is actually needed. In the industry. Because the industry is moving so fast and the education hasn't caught up with that.
I mean, I failed one subject in SNDT because I couldn't dye my dupatta. You know what I said? I don't think I'll
You're
be dying.
You're not learning to be a dyer.
I know. So I thought...
I taught in SNDT, Masaba. I changed a lot of the rules.
Really?
I made life so much easier. After graduation, Hemant and I taught together for 2 years.
I missed that. I think Wendell Rodericks
And I came back and I told them, guys, you can't be making them do so much of... Like in our time, we had to do so much of embroidery ourselves that we used to be sitting up all night and getting styes in our eyes.
Yeah.
So I did make those changes. But I think we all need to go back and... tell the industry, the education industry, what needs to change in the education today.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so much potential for so many other allied professions which are not designed, but people who are interested in fashion. Mm-hmm. There are like 10 other roles that people can do. And it's a need of the hour today.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of my friends, I remember once we finished with SNDT, said we're going to go abroad because our parents think we should go abroad and study for everything. And they all came back and they said, we can't apply one single thing that we've been taught there.
Because
the system is different.
Yeah.
And I think we don't study enough about Indian designers at our Indian colleges either.
Should we both set up an institution together?
We must. Because all I read about was Coco Chanel and Karl Lagerfeld. And I said, how am I supposed to apply this to
my life? So both of us can wear one more hat.
Instead of doing less, we'll be like, let's do
more. We run an institute and say, ye sikho, ye sikho, ye sikho.
We should do it. I think we'll really help a generation.
I think so.
We will.
We'll help the generation. We'll help the industry. We'll be helping the country.
Yeah. And I think it's a great idea. Now, you cater to a very wide range of consumers. The Indian woman itself, I think there's so many different types of women, different body types. Do you ever feel that, is it frustrating sometimes to not have that creative first approach and also have that balance between commerce and art and commerce and creative? How do you balance that?
Interesting question. See, Masaba, my personal style is very basic, very, very frugal, actually. Very basic, very frugal. But I have a certain aesthetic and I try to use that aesthetic in the best possible way to understand what the woman in front of me, because I owe it to my consumer to make her feel good about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is take my aesthetic and apply it to a silhouette or a garment that would fit her lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that lifestyle may not be my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because
when
I'm entering the company as the creative head and I'm designing for the brand, I'm not designing for Anita Dongri the person. I'm designing for Anita Dongri the brand. Anita Dongri the brand is responsible for the consumer who buys Anita Dongri. I am because of the consumers who come in there and love me. And my God, the love that we get is so amazing.
So
that
much.
Also drives me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to do it for her because today when I walk in and I create something, I want it. So let's say if I'm designing something with a 22-year-old girl, I put on a 22-year-old girl hat and I will design something. Okay, she's 22. She's going on her first. This is her engagement. It's her big moment. It's the first time she's wearing a lehenga choli. How would I like to make her feel?
Yeah.
So I literally get into her skin.
Hmm.
And then I create something with my aesthetic, but it's for this gorgeous 22-year-old girl who's deeply in love and who's at her engagement. So it's lovely. It's a bit like acting, no?
Yeah.
Since you're the actor, you'll relate to this.
Yeah. It's
you just get into somebody else's skin. But I will not get into somebody else's skin. That skin will still be my aesthetic skin.
Mm.
So if I was, say, let's, you know, when I started the wedding wear line and I started it just 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself that I want to create wedding clothes that I would want to get married again in myself.
Yeah.
So literally, that's the rule I apply, that, you know, what is it that I would want to wear? That is about 70% of the time.
Hmm.
And 20% of the time, the buyers dictate what they want. So then again, like I said, it can never be perfect.
Yeah.
You've got to, I've learned over the years not to settle for perfection. And that's what also drives me, this need for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the need for perfection can also drive you nuts.
Yeah,
but it can also drive you at one level, but it's also not healthy to be wanting to be perfect all the time.
Yeah,
it's an unhealthy state of mind to be in.
I don't think you can be anything, a product, a person can
and
ever
you can't
be
100%. Perfect. And that's a hard lesson I learned very late in life, just a few years ago. Very late in life.
I'm glad I'm learning it now. I'm learning it now, so I'm very happy. Vogue Business called House of Anita Dungre India's biggest fashion house, and rightfully so. And someone who is constantly pushing the ceiling for Indian designers, what do you see as the next step? What's the next frontier for you to conquer? Or are you not into conquering right now?
No, I'm into conquering myself right now. Like I just said to you, I want a better Anita at work every day and a better Anita at home every day and a better Anita every moment of her life.
It's so funny you say that, but I literally apologized to my senior designer the other day. Because I said I've been so riled up lately. Because I just somehow feel like I'm on a treadmill. I
said exactly the same thing before COVID, Masaba. I got off that treadmill in COVID.
But I just feel like it's not someone else's doing. It's my own sort of need to be on that treadmill. No one told me to be on it.
Exactly. Tarun and me had the same conversation at 6 a.m. one morning.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, you know, I feel like I'm on a treadmill. And I said, you know, Tarun, isn't it up to us to get off the treadmill? No one's forcing us to be on the treadmill. It's all up to us.
Yeah. And it'll all happen in good time.
Yeah. We're all just so impatient.
Yeah. And I just think that for me, you know, of course, I want to be able to have a baby, possibly, you know, be married, all of those things. And I feel like I don't have the time to do it because I'm just 100% working.
You'll have to make a priority list
and
just prioritize what is it that you really first want. It's tough, tough sometimes being a woman because we want to be mothers, we want to be perfect wives, we want to be perfect homemakers, we want to be perfect in the office. We're just killing ourselves with wanting to be perfect in every role that we take on. And we are taking on too many roles than a man in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we literally do 3 times more than men do.
Yeah.
And I think that's being too tough on ourselves. I think we all need to learn to be kinder to ourselves and just let go. And it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. And I think things happen at the right time for you.
Like my mom says, ho jata hai sab kuch.
Sab ho jata hai. That's true. Moms are the best. My mom says the same thing. And I've only just started listening to
her. And listen, I'm the biggest fan of your mom.
Oh,
I absolutely, totally love her.
Have you been seeing her latest Instagram game?
Yes.
It's.
I just love her. I think she's incredible. I just love her.
She keeps giving me the example of how well you design, by the way. And she keeps saying, you have to start thinking like that. Just simplify everything, you know.
But I'm accused of being too simple by the fashion industry.
Oh, not at all.
A lot of people I've heard say she's so simple. And I look at something, I look at everybody and else says, but that's how I am. If you want simplicity, you come to me. You want something else, go to someone else.
Someone else,
There are a lot of people doing
other stuff. Tons of people now. Tons of people. Who are some of the designers that you're inspired by? Young, old, been there, anyone?
Actually, there's one man I'm truly inspired by is Giorgio Armani.
Yeah.
I have his picture in my little book there because, you know, I had a recent picture of him on a yacht. 88.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking amazing, like tan skin, like looking amazing. And I looked at that picture and I told everybody, this is like 3-4 years ago. I said, this is what I'll be at 88. I'll still come to work. And then he just did a show in Dubai like 2 years ago.
Yes. And at his hotel, I think.
Yeah, I was like, incredible. I said, this is how I want to be at 88. I want to be doing shows and I still want to also be on that yacht holiday. I want to have it all.
Have
but
it
I will
all.
Continue working and I will continue being this man. And then I just read a huge article on him on Business of Fashion and oh my God, look at his love for life at that age. And the age doesn't let him down. And that's what I want to be. I just want to be 28 forever in my head and physically, mentally, creatively, every which way. Yeah.
Do you think that when you are constantly working, I think it slows down the aging process in a way. The only anti-aging is constantly just keeping your mind active. Is that true?
I don't know. Time will tell.
We'll have to talk in 20 years and figure it out. Okay, I'm going to do a few questions. You can just give me very quick replies or you can be elaborate. Across your career, you've worked with some of the best photographers, models, actors, sporting your clothes, and creative directors too. Who are some of your favorite collaborators?
I think what Kate Middleton did for me, because she put me on the global map, I'm grateful for. And she's a gorgeous person. I met with her and she's just so beautiful. And I'd love to dress her again.
Okay. Do you remember your first ever creation?
Yes.
And would you change something about it if you saw it today?
No, in fact, I'm recreating it this season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I had, so there's a sketch. There's something I did in college for my graduation project. You know, in SNET, we used to walk the own show. So I wear this sexy gray overlap skirt and this one shoulder top. And in fact, my whole first collection, I'm recreating for my next season's collection because I just went back to my own roots. And I said, you know, this is still relevant today. So I loved what I first made. Simple, stylish, lovely.
This was Chrysalis, right?
Yes.
Yes. And lastly, do you have a creation that you look back on and wish you could undo it completely?
Yes, quite a few.
Quite a few.
But I'm going to dwell on the good ones and not on the bad ones.
And bring it back. Bring the good ones
Bring the
back.
Good ones back and forget about
forget
the bad
about
ones.
The bad ones.
Yeah, like very few, but very few. More, many more good ones than the bad ones.
I want to ask you one last thing because I feel like you might be able to answer this very well. How would you talk to a young designer today who, you know, there are people who have it in them to be entrepreneurs and there's people who are very good at doing a job. What would you say to a young designer, to somebody who probably doesn't have it in them to be an entrepreneur? And it's okay. You can be extremely good in a position, in a company.
Absolutely, yes.
What would you say to somebody who has that urge to start something of their own, but actually is far better at doing a job?
I would say continue doing what you're doing, because when you're in a job, you actually have, you creatively are more satisfied because you only get to do what you're good at. When you're an entrepreneur, you have 80% of the time you're doing what you don't like to do in the first 10, 15 years of your career.
Yeah.
You're literally getting what you like to do 20% of the time. Do you really want to do that? So that's what you need to choose. If you want to do 90% of the time what you love, then it's better to be in a great job and, you know, work and just go in every day, because just that process of designing should make you happy and creating should make you happy rather than building a company and having to deal with so many issues that come with it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I wish I learned that earlier. Thank you so much. This was so nice. Just such a fun, freewheeling chat about everything. I feel like it was a therapy session for me, actually, because all the questions that I needed answers to have kind of sneakily put in there. But it was really, really great. Thank you so much.
Lovely talking to you, Masaba.
And I always do a quick takeaway of what I learned from my conversation with each woman. And I think with you, the one thing that sticks out and I'll probably carry with me for the rest of my life is that just going inward. Every time things are feeling a bit overwhelming or you're stressed out or you feel like you should be doing everything that's in front of you, go inward. I think that's my biggest lesson from you. Thank you so
much.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the next episode of How I'm a Saba, I am speaking to the head of editorial content at Vogue India, Megha Kapoor.
You were listening to How I'm a Saba only on Luminary. The podcast is produced by Monisha Sinkatyal and Rainshine Entertainment. Ritika Bajaj is our creative producer and Palash Kulkarni is our executive producer. The research for this episode was done by Anushka Mukherjee. The mix engineer for this episode is Ankit Thakur. Artist management by Versus Entertainment LLP. The music supervisor for the episode is Ankur Srivastav. The episode was recorded at Island City Studios, Mumbai.